I was 4 years old when my parents moved from the Bahamas, where I was born, to Haiti, to a small coastal city in the northwest part of Haiti. Basically, they wanted us to have some cultural roots to grow up within our own culture. It's a place where everyone knows everyone, everyone looks after each other. And 3 years later, my dad died of tetanus. I was just 8 years old. There were five of us children. And we ranged from age 9 to 2 years old. So that's a lot of mouths to feed. My mother, a few months after that, she left for the U.S. In search of work so she could find money to send back to support us. At first, we lived in a house by ourselves, all five of us, and there were no bed. There were some no furniture, but two beds. And our Aunt Anne looked after us. She would come morning and day to make sure we were being fed and going to school. So eventually, we were moved from house to house and until I was 11 years old. That's when my Uncle Frank, uncle by marriage, found out that we're not being taken care of properly. He decided to take us in permanently. So that's where I really wanted to be, because Uncle Frank, we knew him since I was in the Bahamas. And plus, even when my parents were around, I spent a lot of time playing with his children. Uncle Frank was kind of a James Earl Jones lookalike, but with a softer voice. And so he had 9 children already. We always joked at our house, he was such a Christian man that he took the Bible literally. You know that part of the Bible where he said you have to be fruitful and multiply. So I'm not going to go. But he was a very successful man. Actually, he was one of the hardest working men. I always thought that he probably raised me better than my dad did because of his values. And so he was very successful selling coffee as a middleman. He had a bus traveling from the capital, Port-au-Prince, to our hometown, shuttling passengers. But my best part was that he had a lot of farms. So many farms along one of the main rivers where I would go eating mangoes, avocados. But my best part also was riding donkeys with my cousins. So very fair and compassionate man, but also very strict. He was a deacon at the Baptist church. He didn't tolerate anyone coming to complain about your bad behaviors. He also had to make sure that we go to church four times. We had some church activities 4 times a week. Sunday morning was mandatory. You had to be on your deathbed for you not to go to church. And so when he finally took us in, that first Christmas, I was going to spend it with my cousins, one of his son and one of my older cousins, Zach, who was 7 years older than me. Christmas Eve was a big thing for us Baptists because we don't have much fun. Baptists, we like, I always wondered, like, I said, you know, I have a little ADHD and I cannot take 4 hours sitting, listening to the adult, waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. It's like, that's too much. So Christmas Eve was the best part. We have that nativity scene, theatrical. I said, okay, that's good. But Zach, who's older, we listened to him. He decided that we were going to celebrate Christmas in a special way by making a mild alcoholic drink. So made of sugarcane, rum, Haitian rum, and squeezed lemon juice. Mind you, I never tasted alcohol. Actually, it's actually not allowed in the house. We didn't keep it. We didn't touch it. You didn't smell it. You didn't go around people holding alcohol. But so it was a forbidden fruit for me because Catholics, I always complain, the Catholics, they're having all the fun. It's like, I know, if you know, in Haiti, during like Christmas time, by January, that's when they're having First Communion. The kids would be having communions. All of a sudden, you'd see them tipsy. They're like, but they wouldn't beat them. But my uncle, he would not tolerate people drinking alcohol. So Zach said, okay, Kelly, go buy the rum so we can make the drink because we had to go to church at midnight. You have to be at church before midnight. So I went three houses down, went to buy the room at one of my classmates' house. His name was Simon. So I went there. In Haiti, we had a lot of houses with front stores where they sell sodas and all kind of stuff. My classmates' parents, they were one of the biggest rum seller. So I showed up. There were two big kerosene gas lamps with those glass, those nice shapes. So I'm hiding, trying for the glare of the light not to give off my identity, because if she saw me, she could call my uncle, tell him that I came to her house and buy rum, and I would be in big trouble. So I came, I showed up, I said, okay, can I get 25 cents of rum, around 8 ounces? I gave her my jar. I was taking the rum back. On my way back, there was an empty lot where we used to play soccer. I stopped there. I said, okay, this is my moment. I am going to feel what it's like to feel good like that, because these folks are having too much fun. So there was noise around the streets. I said, okay, let me block this. So I took the jar. I downed half of it. That was the most bitter thing I ever tasted. And I felt like there were pins stinging in my head. I said, is that what you have to go to get the fun? It's like, so I had to rush back. Zach was waiting for the rum. And when I came, he said, Kelly, where's the rum? He lifted it up. He said, it's half full. I said, Zach, it spilled while I was running. I said, man, we got to hurry up, because we got to go to church, get to church before midnight. He mixed the rum, the sugar cane, the squeezed lemon juice, and he gave me mine. By the time, I was half drunk. I mean, half drunk, I don't know what you mean. Can you be half pregnant? So he gave me mine. I washed up, got dressed. I'm going to church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the last thing I remember. I don't remember getting to church. I don't remember getting back home. I don't know how I got back home. The joke is, so the next morning, I find myself waking up on the side of the bed with my feet dangling. I was in a daze and I was trying to figure out what happened. Then I was wearing a white t-shirt. I looked down, I was full of mud. And it seems like the food I ate was all over the shirt. The smell was, I had one of the biggest headache. While I was recovering and the kids, my cousin and my sisters came. They said, Kelly, what happened? I said, what happened? They said, you went to the church in the back. You were singing, yelling. Basically, you were singing out of tune when no one was singing. I said, okay. And while they were saying that, I said, okay, I'm done. I hope Uncle Frank didn't see me, because as a deacon, he always sat up front. I said, obviously, I didn't go up front. But one of the kids went, probably told him. Then while they were telling me that I was still recovering, Uncle Frank had these kids, those big kids. You could hear, like, he was passing by swinging them. And I heard those kids coming. I said, okay. Then the door opened, and he looked at me, gave me this look, this purpose look. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Basically, I thought I was done, because the worst thing is that he could have kicked me out, because drinking alcohol was a no-no. Then I was waiting days, like the day after, for him to call me. He never called me. I was so relieved that somehow he forgave me. And mind you, that's one of the nicest childhood I spent at his house, because he was well-to-do and with my cousins and my friends. So that was the best Christmas I ever had. And I stayed at his house 5 more years until I came to the U.S., So thank you. See you.